This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and who's here with me today. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, to you as well.
You skipped the St. Patrick's Day parade to do the interview. I appreciate that.
Yes, that's true. So to all our many Irish listeners, a happy St. Patrick's
Day. And our listeners can't see us wearing, we're adorned with shamrocks. And that's a shillelagh over there, isn't that?
Either that or I'm happy to see you. But actually, Mayor Daley is stopping by later in the day to celebrate with us.
Moving on today, we're talking about your article titled, What's Really Going On in the Primary Elections, that appears in the Reader on March 15, 2012. And you co-wrote this with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke, who, as you know, was the recent recipient of the Studs Terkel Award.
I didn't know that. Shout out to Mick.
I'll take the shout out as well for winning that illustrious award. And there was a ceremony on Wednesday, the 14th of March.
In the article that you guys wrote, you describe the Chicago area primary elections in terms of who's gotten what endorsements, who are the powers behind the candidates. Did you vote yet by any chance?
I've not voted. I'm looking forward to it on Tuesday.
And of course, we're recording this the Saturday before Election Day, and early voting ended last Thursday, and I did vote.
You did?
I did already.
Are you going to share with our thousands and thousands of listeners who you voted for?
In which office?
All of them.
We don't have time for that.
The judges?
Yeah, I'll go through all the judges. In case you're having trouble sleeping, listeners, but from a more pragmatic standpoint, our listeners can go to chicagoelections.com to get a sample ballot for any of the parties to find out ahead of time before they go into the polling place what their options are going to be. And those judges are a pesky sort of set of decisions. So I like to go to voteforjudges.org, and there you can get a table that shows all the Bar Association's recommendations for candidates.
Oh, there you go.
And of course, the press has found that none of those recommendations hold as far as who actually gets elected.
Right,
but, you
Irish
know,
names.
Yeah, we'll keep pushing.
What a citizenry we have here in the city of Chicago. Right. Enlightened as always.
So you writing about election politics makes me want to focus on the government operations aspect.
Go ahead.
And run screaming away
from our
politics.
Electoral system, which is just a farce.
So I thought I'd help our listeners with a little legislative district primer, because in your article, you and Mick talk about a couple of the state House races, the House of Representatives. And just from a very basic standpoint, in Illinois, we have both Senate districts and representative districts, and there are two representative districts for every Senate district.
That is correct.
And they're actually inside the Senate
embedded.
District. Embedded.
Right.
And I have here a map.
Oh, wow.
That shows.
Okay.
That's
a nice map.
Yeah, the Senate districts here.
Where'd you get that map?
I got it at the Illinois General Assembly website.
Well, taxpayers' dollars at work.
Our listeners can go to the description to this broadcast at MrRadio.org to see this map, and it's the Chicago area Senate and Rep districts, and there are 17 Senate districts that touch Chicago, and a little less than half of that for representative districts. In your article, you focus on seven primary races, three of which are state rep districts, and you focus on the 21st state rep district, 26th, and 39th, which in the article is named mistakenly as the 29th.
Yeah.
Why those, I'm curious? The current elections come after redistricting. The General Assembly, after the 2010 census, did radical gerrymandering and redistricted, but your article doesn't touch on that stuff, but on these particular districts for some reason.
We didn't get into gerrymandering or redistricting. I don't know. It's just they're typical of the larger themes we're getting at, and the larger theme we're getting at is that in so many cases, legislative races, as important as they are proxy wars for larger battles. So we were just trying to get at some of the larger battles through these legislative races. I guess our ultimate point, which is the most dispiriting of all, is that there are so few people in the system who run as sort of independent thinkers. I'm not even going to use the word reform because, as we've talked about before, David's just so misused and destroyed. But just like it's just an independent thinker, you know what I mean? Someone who just, no, I'm going to do things the way I want to do them, which would be such a creative twist to Chicago politics.
Unique.
Yes, but everybody is just so cagey and a little cautious or just completely controlled. The three C's, cagey, cautious, and controlled. You know, so they're like little chess pieces, and they allow themselves to be used as chess pieces.
I think that slogan's going to come up in election campaign literature pretty soon.
Cagey, cautious, and controlled. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, they're indicative of these sort of larger puppeteer relationships.
In light of that, one of my friends expressed surprise and dismay to find that both Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle and Mayor Rahm Emanuel endorsed the incumbent in a state rep primary in my district, actually, rather than the challenger. And my friend sees the challenger as the more progressive of the candidates and so was surprised. What is Tony Preckwinkle, who, you know, my friend views as another progressive, what is she doing endorsing the incumbent? And you and Mick characterize the reason for such endorsements as Preckwinkle and Emanuel playing it safe, that is, backing only those that they perceive as the winner. Why do they do that?
Well, for the obvious reason that they want credit when the person wins for having helped them win, even though, of course, the person would have probably won without them. You know, it's that old saying about Chicago politics, don't back no losers. It's one of the reasons why we have such a dismal political system here. To your friend, a word of warning is that you really can't take too seriously labels like progressive or reform. When you talk about Chicago politics, Cook County politics, same thing, really, because they have no meaning after a while. So in the case, for instance, such a funny story about, I don't know if you're talking about the Tony Barrios, is it the Tony Barrios one?
That's right.
Yeah, well, originally it wasn't clear that Rahm Emanuel had endorsed Tony Barrios because Rahm Emanuel's point person on that race didn't want readers to know that Rahm had endorsed her. So he was sort of misleading us to believe that Rahm hadn't endorsed Tony.
This is before, after the campaign literature went out.
Yes, right. But before okay. the campaign. And then, so we got a call after the article came out from Tony Barrios's handler saying Rahm has indeed endorsed Tony Barrios. And to which I said, why would Tony want Rahm's endorsement? You know, that's really the question.
Why not?
Well, Rahm's raised property taxes. Presumably, property taxpayers don't like higher property taxes. Rahm's kept going the TIF system. Presumably, Northside progressives don't want the TIF system. Rahm is perpetuating crony capitalism with his little trust fund, which will handle infrastructure, continuing the privatization. Rahm is heading toward privatizing our public schools. Presumably, Northside progressives would not want. So Rahm is the antithesis of a progressive. He's not a reformer. He's not even liberal. I'd say he may be liberal if he were running in the Republican primary, but he's certainly on the very right end of the Democratic spectrum. Why would anybody value his endorsement if they're running in a progressive district?
Well, that says to me that it's because they realize that the average person who votes for Barrios isn't a quote reform unquote minded person, because otherwise they'd be voting for her opponent.
Yeah, I would say it really points out that Chicago voters are absolutely clueless. Which I think, Dave, we've discussed many times, they are.
Except for our listeners.
They vote against what their supposed interests are. They're completely contradictory in their behavior. They say they want one thing, and then they vote for something else. They continually voted for Richard M. Daley, even though he was clearly not a reformer. They voted once, then reelected Rod Blagojevich. I mean, this is truly, they're almost schizophrenic in their behavior. So here we have Northside liberal reformers viewing Rahm Emanuel's endorsement of Tony Barrios as a positive, which is even beyond bizarre because just a few months ago, they were on opposite sides, the Barrios clan and the Emanuel clan, on the Cook County Assessor's race when presumably Northside liberals were horrified at the prospect of Joe Barrios running the Cook County's Assessor's office and had a vote for Forrest Claypool, who is one of Rahm's closest allies. So you could say anything to a Chicago voter one day and then say the complete opposite thing to them the next day, and they can't remember apparently from one day to the next, and there's putty in your hands. So I don't really know what to say about Chicago voters anymore, Dave. They're an intriguing species of democratic beings.
Well, given that they're putty, I wonder if you might take a shot at shaping that putty by telling us who you're going to vote for. What I'm really curious about is the state Supreme Court judge candidacy. You want to disclose that one?
I really don't know the answer to that question because that's one of those races where the people are controlled. They're so closely linked to whoever is supporting them that it's easy to fall into a trick bag of saying, well, I don't like this candidate because Rahm supports her in the case of this. And I'm like, you know, that's probably unfair to her. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's between Cunningham and Theis, and I'm probably going to flip a coin as I enter the polling booth.
Cunningham and who?
T-H-E-I-S.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she's the one
Rahm's
most
candidate.
Also most highly recommended by the Bar Association.
Yeah, she's really smart. So why should I hold it against her that Rahm? Isn't that irrational of me to hold it against her?
Well, but you're voting also based on your feelings, and you have rather strong feelings about our mayor.
Yes. Can I sing that song, Feelings, right now?
All right, you sing it as I do the outro. Well, that's all we've got time for. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
If you'd like to hear more of my interviews with Ben, go to MrRadio.org, where you can find instructions how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a single interview, or search on iTunes for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.